Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Now, it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree," so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Well, good morning. The message today is a dual purpose message. For St. George, it's going to be the Good Friday message, and for Bongeen, it's going to be the Easter Sunday message. But whichever way we look at it, we can't have Easter Sunday without having Good Friday. And also, a Good Friday message leaves us feeling pretty hopeless if we don't look forwards to Easter Sunday. So even in normal times, Good Friday messages focus on the crucifixion and look forward to the resurrection. And an Easter Sunday message begins with the grave, but then it fills us with joy that Christ is risen. Righto, so today's reading talked a lot about law, faith, righteousness, the Spirit, Abraham, Gentiles. There's blessings and there's curses. There's promise and redemption. There's a lot going on in this passage. And for those who haven't been with us over the last few weeks, I'd better just give us a really quick rundown on what this letter to the Galatians is about. Galatia is a region in what we now know as Turkey. And the church in Galatia were Gentiles, mostly Gentiles. That means they were not Jews. And Paul had taken the gospel to them, a very simple gospel message of grace and forgiveness of sins through faith in Christ Jesus. But since that time, Paul had moved on, as missionaries do, preaching the gospel in other lands, and what the Bible refers to as Judaizers came into town. And they told the Galatians, "Hey, if you want to be a Christian, well, first of all, you have to become a Jew, because Jesus was a Jew, and Jesus is the Saviour of the Jews. And so for a start, you blokes, you'd better start getting yourself circumcised, because that's the mark of being the people of God." So these blokes had moved in and caused all of this great upset. And something that I've noticed is when a group of people really, truly desire to know God and to honour God with every part of their being, if somebody seemingly in authority tells them just a few simple practical things that they need to do to make God happy, well, they just do it. There's no harm in that, is there? Or is there?
Well, actually, yes, there is. And so this letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians, it's a very important letter. The teaching of the Judaizers, he had to nip that in the bud because God was doing a new thing through Jesus. The death and the resurrection of Jesus was his means of salvation for the nations, not just for the Jews. And yet the Judaizers, they came in, they tried to put a whole heap of hurdles in front of these new Gentile Christians and put the burdens on their backs that they hadn't even been able to carry for themselves, trying to make them carry all of the religious law. And Paul says in this letter, the law cannot save us because we're not able to keep all of the law. And in fact, the law becomes a curse. And we're going to get to that shortly. And this letter to the Galatians roundly destroys the twisted teaching of the Judaizers that to become a Christian means you have to also, first of all, become a Jew and embrace all of the old covenantal ceremonial laws and customs and practices. And Paul's point, which goes right through this letter, is we're not saved by the law. We're saved by faith. And today's Bible reading homes in on what that faith is. It's by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for us and the one who rose again. And for Paul, in Paul's theology, and you can see this right throughout his letters, for Paul, the cross, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is central to the gospel. In fact, it is the gospel. Jesus died to set us free from our sins. And yet he lives, and in him we have life. Right? So we've got both the messages here. We've got the message for Good Friday. Jesus died to set us free from our sins. But Jesus lives, and in him we have life. So, to today's reading. Oh, foolish Galatians, he says, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. You know, there's some people around today who claim to be Christians, and yet they do not see the cross as being central to what Christianity is about. And some don't even believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And so for these folk, Easter must be a real time of, I don't know, non-event for them. But that's foolishness. And when that sort of teaching finds its way into the church, and sadly it does, it's satanic. That's why Paul used the word bewitched. Who's bewitched you? Who's cast a spell on you? Who's put the evil eye on you? Who, by the power of Satan, is distracting you from the pure gospel? If the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ isn't central to the gospel message that's being proclaimed, then that message, well, to be quite frank, it's not the good news of Christ at all. It's satanic. Now, the old covenant sign that somebody belonged to the people of God was, on a personal level, circumcision. And on a national level, the keeping of the Sabbath. Right? It seems to be that those two things throughout the scriptures, you can see that they take a bit of an emphasis. But of course, then on a personal level, it extended to the law. But it seems at the time that this passage was written, at the time that Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians, that they were focusing mainly on the issues of circumcision and the issues of the food cleanliness laws, whether you ate the right foods or whether you ate the wrong foods or not. But when Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to the church, right? So they used to see, okay, this is the evidence that you belong to the people of God. This is the sign you've been circumcised and you follow the law. But when Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to the church. And so, not working on a Saturday, That's not the evidence that I'm saved. And having a trimmed foreskin, that's not the evidence that I'm saved. And not eating bacon isn't the evidence that I'm saved. The evidence, the sign that we are saved, the sign that we belong to God, is the presence of the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us, developing the fruit of the Spirit, that's the evidence that we belong to God. Now, please don't get that muddled up with what we call spiritual signs and wonders of, oh, I can do miracles. And don't ever believe that you have to do miracles or that you have to be able to have any particular spiritual gift, because even the devil can mimic these things. The sign, the evidence that the Holy Spirit is in us is the fruit of the Spirit growing in our life. Things like love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, humility, self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. And the church in Galatia, they'd already experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit, and they'd experienced him in a mighty and powerful way, and they had experienced the miracles of God as well had been done in their presence. And so Paul asked them straight out. He said, did you receive the Spirit by keeping the law? No, you received the Spirit by faith. So now that you've started out with the gospel, now that you've received the gospel with faith and God has put his stamp of approval on you by the presence of the Holy Spirit, what are you going to try and add to that? Are you going to try and improve on all of that by starting to keep the religious law? Why would you do that? Now, at this point, he brings up the example of Abraham. Abraham was the patriarch. He was the great Jewish hero. He's like the father of the Jews. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. And it was Jacob who changed his name, God changed his name to Israel. And Jacob had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. But it all began with Abraham, the patriarch. There were generations before Abraham. There were generations after Abraham. But Abraham, he was the one who heard God. He's the one who believed God. He's the one who acted in faith. And it's not the ones who follow the covenantal religious laws who are the children of Abraham. It's the ones who receive and act in faith. These are the ones who are the true children of Abraham, because that's the way that Abraham functioned. It was centuries after Abraham lived that the Mosaic Law, that's the law that God gave to Moses, that's why we call it the Mosaic Law, it was centuries after Abraham lived that that law was given to Israel. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And Paul says, hey, this is a prophecy that's now been fulfilled. Right back in Genesis chapter 18, verse 18, God had said that in Abraham all nations would be blessed. And to be a people of faith, that's to be a people like Abraham. Okay, so you're with me? Saved by faith. The righteousness of God comes to us by faith, just like Abraham was credited with righteousness by his faith. And this is where the purpose of the law and the purpose of the cross is revealed. Verse 10, for all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. When Moses gave the law to the people of Israel, in Deuteronomy chapters 27 and 28, he lays down all of these blessings and curses, and it just seems to go on and on and on. Basically, if you keep all of God's commandments and if you keep all of God's laws, you will be blessed. Your land will be blessed. You will be safe and secure. Your crops will be blessed. You'll be safe as a nation. There'll be military victories, etc., etc., etc. But if you don't keep the law, and if you don't do all that the law requires, you will be cursed. Your crops will fail. The nation will be overthrown. There'll be great military defeats. You will become slaves, and you'll live in misery. And the problem is, a lot of people look to some of these blessings in the Old Testament here, and they say, oh yes, we're going to claim all these blessings for ourselves. But they never also claim, all right, but if I don't keep all of these laws, then, I might be in for curses as well. So we need to remember that these blessings and curses were given to the people of Israel. And the thing is, Israel were not able to keep the covenant. So guess what? They lived under the curse. And all of those bad things that the curse said would happen to them if they didn't keep God's law, guess what? They happened. And when Jesus taught about the law, basically he made us realize that nobody is capable of completely keeping the law. Jesus didn't water it down. In fact, Jesus made it harder. Jesus took the law from merely being a written word which could describe our outward actions, and Jesus made it to be a thing of the heart, which is what I think it was intended to be all along. It shows us the state of our heart and the condition of our heart. But Jesus said, if you look at a woman in lust, you've already committed adultery with her. He said, if you're angry with your brother, then you've already committed murder. Right, so let's come back to verse 10. I want us to realize that the key word here is rely. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. He's not saying that if you do the right thing, you're under a curse. He's not saying if you aim to please God, you're under a curse. He's not even saying if you work really hard in all of your strength and strive to always to do the right thing, you're under a curse. He's not saying any of those things. It's if that's what we rely on. You see, people of faith do what the law requires because Christ is living in our heart. But we don't rely on these things to save us. That's been done at the cross. All who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by how many of the things? All the things written in the book of the law and do them. Whoa, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? No one can be justified by the law. I think it's in Romans that it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So no one can be justified by the law. We can only ever be cursed by the law. And that's the whole point. The righteous shall live by faith. The prophet Habakkuk had said that. You see, when it comes to the law isn't about faith. The law is about doing. But Christ redeemed us. He bought us back. He bought us out from under the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. And this is why I chose this reading for Good Friday and for Easter Sunday. You see, Jesus, he's the only one who ever perfectly kept the law. But he was crucified. He was nailed to the cross. See, Jesus was the only one who wasn't under the curse. But he is crucified and hung on a cross, and the scriptures tell us that cursed is the one who hangs on a tree. And so Jesus Christ, the only one who wasn't under the curse, the only perfect one, became the curse. He bore the curse of the law to redeem us, to buy us back out from under the curse of the law. so that by faith, people of all nations, people like you and I, we don't have to live under the curse of the unkeepable law. We're saved through faith in the one who was raised from the dead. Are you a person of faith? Or are you a person of the law? Are you a person who relies on jumping through the right religious hoops to be saved? And you always have to be doing something else to prove that you're saved. Are you someone who perhaps has to be in the right denomination to be saved? Or do you have to take communion from the right person to be saved? Or do you have to read a particular translation of the Bible to be saved? Or do you have to have the anointing so that you can speak in other languages to be saved? Don't laugh. I've met someone, a lady who was almost as old as I was, and I think for decades she had been in this church that told her that if she doesn't speak in tongues, then she's not saved. And so she has been trying and trying and trying to get that gift, and God hasn't given her that gift. And she thinks she's not saved. And she's devastated. Or are you somebody who always has to have a smile painted on your face? You always have to look happy to prove that you're saved. Or do you have to eat the right food to be saved? Or not watch the television to be saved? Or do you have to not work on a Saturday or a Sunday to be saved? Or do you have to recognize that your church leader is always right and they're never wrong to be saved? If so, you're jumping through a whole heap of religious hoops and a whole heap of works of the law. You're putting yourself under the curse of the law. Right? So are you a person who relies on doing as many good things as you possibly can in the hope that somehow you're going to level up the balance or tip it in your favour so that your good deeds, oh, more and more good deeds, yes, they're now outweighing the bad deeds, I'm going to be okay. Is that the way you work? If so, you're putting yourself under the curse of the law. Jesus became cursed to set us free from the curse. Why would we go back to it? The righteous are saved by faith. What does that look like? And I hope it looks just like you. It's believing in faith and acting in faith. The message of Good Friday is Jesus died to pay the penalty that our sins deserve, to break the curse that is over us. The message of Easter Sunday is Jesus lives. Woohoo! He has conquered sin and death. He rose from the grave. And by faith in Christ, we also have life. And you believe these things. That's what it means to believe in faith. Do you believe in these things? And then we act in faith. You see, belief has to lead to actions. How are my actions faithful? How do I demonstrate that I do truly believe this? Well, I surrender my life to Jesus. I repent of sin and ask for forgiveness, knowing that I will receive the grace and the mercy of God. But as we're going to discover as we get towards the end of Galatians, the action of living by faith doesn't mean that we continue to live rebellious lives and that's all okay. Righteous living, faithful living, is living by the Spirit. And this is the wonder, this is the joy of living as a disciple of Jesus. We don't rely on keeping all of the right rules and regulations to be saved. By faith, we rely on Jesus. How dependable is he? He's completely dependable. But you know what happens then? Right? So we believe in Jesus, we rely on Jesus, but what happens then? The beauty of the law, and the law is beautiful, it's a wonderful thing. The beauty of the law becomes real and evident in our lives. Not because we're relying on these things, but because we rely on Christ. You see, the law all of a sudden is no longer a curse of being unattainable. The righteousness of Christ in us changes us. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that we die and Christ lives in us. And the character of Christ lives in us. And as we live by faith with Christ, his character becomes our character. And what a glorious thing that is. So on this Good Friday, on this Easter Sunday, we praise our Christ who has been raised from the dead, because through his death and resurrection, he redeemed us. He brought us back from the curse that we've been under. And we rely on him now. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it is with sorrow that we realize that we are the ones responsible for the crucifixion of your beautiful Son. He who is holy became cursed as he hung on the tree to save us from the curse of the law, that curse that we could never break it ourselves. Our Lord, please forgive us for the times when we've tried to rely on the works of the law to save us, and all the while we're cursing ourselves even more. Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You have broken the curse that held us captive. You were nailed to the cross and hung up on that tree to die, to become cursed, to save us. Oh Lord, what a love, what a gift, what a sacrifice. We praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you make us righteous by your shed blood. And Lord, we rejoice that you live again. You overcame the curse with your wondrous blessing. You overcame death with your eternal life. You conquered sin with your holy righteousness. Ah, Lord, we praise you and we thank you, Jesus. Amen.